time to you. We've come to you in worship with songs, and now, Lord, we come continuing to worship with our minds, asking, Lord, that you would direct our thoughts, that you would teach us good things from your word. And Lord, I especially pray tonight and over the next several weeks, Lord, that you would reveal to your people in a clear, unmistakable way how you've gifted them and where they might fit in the local church. I ask, Lord, that you would search our hearts, that you would direct our thoughts. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a pastor who was in his study reading, just quietly in his study there reading, and he heard a commotion outside the window. It was his daughter who was playing with her friends. And it got louder. It got louder, more heated, and more argumentative. Until finally he couldn't help himself. He pushed the window open and he said, "Stop it. Honey, what's wrong?" And his daughter said, "Daddy, we were just playing church." Can you imagine if kids really thought of church like that? Bickering and arguing, and I certainly hope that's not the case. The local church should be one where there's joy, right? Sanctuary, peace, harmony. And I think that's how most local churches are, those that are biblical-centered, Christ-centered. But there are problems in local churches, aren't there? And there have been problems in local churches ever since there was a church. Even in the beginning of church history. And you know why there's problems in local churches? Because there's people in local churches. That's why. And whenever you get a group of people together, redeemed or not, we come with different backgrounds, different stages in our spiritual development, and there's bound to be friction and problems. Now, I don't like to see problems in the local church. I don't enjoy it, ever. But I do appreciate the lessons that I learn as we go through these problems and solve them. And you need to know that 1 Corinthians was a letter that was born out of church problems. There was a church back in 50 AD that was planted by the Apostle Paul, located in the city of Corinth, and that church was filled with problems. And you can look at the problems that that church was experiencing and get sort of bummed out and think, even back then, there were problems in local churches? And it's true, there were, but I'm also grateful in the sense that we have wonderful advice and lessons learned from the problems they experienced. They had problems with division in the church, and we get invaluable information from this letter about division in the church. They had problems with marriage and issues of divorce, and we get invaluable information about marriage and divorce in 1 Corinthians. That church experienced all sorts of problems with the communion service, the Lord's Supper. And we get wonderful, practical, awesome information about the importance of the Lord's Supper through that problem and Paul addressing that problem. Well, as it turns out, the local church at Corinth also had lots of problems concerning spiritual gifts. The moving of the Holy Spirit within the assembly. And their abuse was great. There was a lot of misunderstanding. And as a result, we have three chapters, awesome chapters, that clarify for us
the function of spiritual gifts, the parameters of spiritual gifts. Wonderful information. And I do want to slow down quite a bit because I think it's a very important topic. And in my mind, when a Christian begins to understand that there are spiritual gifts and that the Holy Spirit wants to use each Christian, it's a revival. I want to see Christians at this fellowship discover what they have been supernaturally equipped for by the Holy Spirit and be involved in ministry. It's beautiful. Sometimes when you talk about the spiritual gifts, a lot of people go, "Ooh, you're not going to talk about those things now, are you? Those are a little crazy. Seen some goofy things." You know, there have been a lot of goofy things that people have done in the name of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit isn't weird. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. And you should never be worried about receiving a gift that's biblical and that the Holy Spirit might give to you. So, as we go through this topic, we're going to go through each spiritual gift listed in the New Testament. We'll go through it in depth, and you consider it, and you pray, and seek the Lord on these issues. I want to look at the spiritual gifts again tonight from a top level, general sort of view, some general principles about them. If you remember last week, we learned that there's widespread ignorance on this subject. There was ignorance in the days of Corinth. There's ignorance today in the church age. And as I mentioned last week, I do believe that ignorance exists in the extreme viewpoints. I think we should approach it with a balance, this discussion. And so, yeah, I believe in the operation of all of the spiritual gifts today, but it's not a free-for-all. They're to be operated in a biblically prescribed way. And that's balance. Other things we learn, that every single Christian is guaranteed one spiritual gift. The spiritual gift that you've been given is to be used as a benefit for the other people, the body of Christ. It's not to make you look really cool and spiritual. It's to be used through you to help others in the body of Christ. We also learn that spiritual gifts are distributed by the sovereign will of the Holy Spirit. He gives out as He wants. And we just need to understand that when it comes to spiritual gifts and humbly accept that gift which He's given to us. And then remember the big word we talked about last week, diversity. Diversity is a big word when it comes to the spiritual gifts. There's a whole variety of spiritual gifts, and people operate in the gifts in diverse ways. Oftentimes, there will be two people that have the same spiritual gift, but they'll operate in it differently. So you got to keep that in mind as you're studying this topic. You cannot put a nice package around it. You can't put God in a box. And you can't follow a formula, a 1, 2, 3, 4-step sort of process. Something very important to keep in mind. And then I wanted to remind you before we go on tonight, look at chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Once again. Paul says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Many times when you have a discussion of the move of the Holy Spirit within a local church, it's only referred to as spiritual gifts. the operation of spiritual gifts. I actually see three different words used there. And I think there's a distinction. Verse 4 says there are diversities of gifts. Gifts. Those are supernatural abilities that God the Holy Spirit has given to His people. These would be manifestations of the Holy Spirit in a consistent, regular way within a person. Every one of us has a gift, an enablement by the Holy Spirit that's a regular sort of thing in our life. You consistently, regularly flow in it. Examples of that are like teaching. You don't turn it on and turn it off. You have it if you have the gift of teaching. Or encouragement. Or speaking in tongues. Or giving. Or exhortation. Things like that. Those are talents, abilities given by the Holy Spirit that you flow in regularly, consistently. Then in verse 5, it speaks of ministries, different ministries. And as we mentioned last week, that refers to ministrations, roles or positions or offices that people hold within the body of Christ in areas of ministry. And I believe there's five of them: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. Those positions, those offices, those roles, the Holy Spirit has gifted people in His body to fill those sorts of positions. And they have the right gifts to help them function in it effectively. And then there's that third word in verse 6. There are diversities of activities. Activities. Interesting, interesting word. Literally, energies. Operations. Works of power. And it's my opinion, it's my understanding that this is referring to those gifts that you see listed in the gift passages that are manifested occasionally. Sort of randomly. Whereas the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to a person, that's a consistent, regular part of that servant. They operate in that. They flow in that. These activities, these works of power, those are manifested occasionally and through different people at different times. They happen under the sovereign will of the Holy Spirit in certain circumstances at certain times. And I would apply that word to what we talked about last week, the gifts of healings, miracles, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. I don't believe that anybody has the gift of healing where they operate that in a regular, consistent way. Every time they say, be healed to someone, they're healed. Or the working of miracles. What if somebody had the gift of working miracles and all they did was work miracles? How many people do you think would line up at their door? Need another miracle. Or the word of knowledge. When there's revelation given to a person about another person at a specific time, at a specific place, for a specific reason. I don't necessarily believe that there are Christians out there that consistently are exercising the word of knowledge with everyone they meet. I doubt if they'd have many friends. The distinction I'm getting at is you have these works, these miraculous word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healing, miracles, and I believe that those are manifestations of the Holy Spirit in operation, but they come whenever the Holy Spirit wants it, and it can come through any one of us at any time. And that's kind of neat. It's kind of exciting. So consider that, think through that as a general principle. Now, on your handout, I have a list of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you will notice that there are four main New Testament passages where you get information on spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and Romans chapter 12. We will be looking at all of these specifically, so I would ask that you would bring your handout every week. We'll go through each one. But tonight I want to look at a couple of the passages that I have listed here to learn just some more general information about the gifts. Let's start with 1 Peter chapter 4. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. And the plan is to go from general to more specific, from a broadened view to a more narrow. Look what Peter tells us about spiritual gifts in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice once again, and it's very clear also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that every single born-again Christian has a spiritual gift. Did you see that? Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. That's clear. You don't have to sit here tonight and think, I wonder if I have a spiritual gift. You do. God has given all Christians a spiritual gift. And you also find out from verse 10 that the gift that God has given you is a unique expression of His grace. And this is beautiful. Notice what Peter says, as each one has received a gift, minister to it one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We talk about God being a God of grace. And this verse tells us that His grace is manifold. That is, it's multifaceted. It's many colored. It's like a kaleidoscope with a whole bunch of colors. It's like a rainbow. It's like a really nice blanket or quilt or something that's been weaved together with different threads and whatnot and makes this intricate design. It's like the multicolored veins that you see in a marble. That's the grace of God. And this verse tells you and this verse tells me that you have been gifted in such a way that you are a unique expression of God's grace in some way to other people. You're one of the colors. You, Christian, are one of the ways that God shows off His grace to people. He's picked you. He's made you born again. He's put His Holy Spirit in you. And then He's
deposited a gift inside you and made it uniquely for you so that you shine in a special way in the body of Christ. That is just beautiful. You have this wonderful place. This place where you fit. And Peter says, we're to be good stewards of that. A steward is someone who takes care of something that doesn't belong to them. God has given you a gift, and you are to use it radically your whole life for the kingdom of God. You're to be a good steward of that. In order to be a good steward, you must discover your gift. You must hone your gift. And then use your gift or operate in your gift in an effective way. Find your gift. Those of you here tonight who know your gifts, let this be a reminder. Continue to develop them. Explore them. Work on them. Never let go. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's inside you. Keep it hot. Flame it. Fan it. Keep yourself aglow. Those of you who don't know your gifts yet, I want you to seek the Lord, and I believe the Lord will show you your gift so that you can use your gift. Again, here in this passage, we find out that we receive gifts. Why? To show off? No, to minister to one another. Our gifts are also, verse 11 tells us, given to us that we might glorify who? Ourselves? We're to glorify God through the spiritual gift that He's given us and our use of it. So listen, for those of you who aren't sure about what gift you have, here's a couple of really good questions you could already begin to answer, which will lead you in the right direction. What is it about you that blesses the body of Christ? What is it about you, something that you do and something that you contribute that just ministers to other Christians and blesses them? Here's another question to ask. What is it about you, what thing do you get involved in that absolutely brings glory to Christ? You know, where people look at you and you're involved in something and they go, that couldn't be that guy. That's the hand of the Holy Spirit working through that person. I give glory to God because I see His marvelous hand upon that person. Is there something in your life, something that you do, the way that you contribute within the body of Christ that blesses other people in a spectacular, supernatural way, or that unquestionably brings glory to Jesus Christ? Think through those. Whatever you answer that question, you're on the trail. You're walking right down a path to where you're going to find your spiritual gift. There are scholars, teachers that will take a great deal of pain in trying to categorize all the gifts. And they'll break them out into what they call sign gifts, miraculous gifts, etc., etc. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it seems that there are two categories. What are they? If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, Let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. I see two broad categories for spiritual gifts. Let's call one speaking gifts. Would you agree? And then the other we would call what? Ministering gifts. Speaking gifts. What are those? Speaking is when you open your mouth, right? And you begin to verbalize sounds. You utter something and you speak forth. There are some in the body of Christ that have been gifted by the Holy Spirit as speakers. That would include teachers, prophets, pastors, encouragers, those who speak in tongues, those who interpret tongues. Those types of gifts are speaking gifts. And many of us in this room, I believe, have been gifted with those speaking gifts. And here's something very wonderful to understand about speaking gifts. If you have a speaking gift, you are to speak boldly. Did you catch that? It says in verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Whoa. If you have a speaking gift, you are to speak as a messenger from God. You should speak with authority. You should speak with boldness. When an evangelist or a prophet or a teacher or a pastor speaks, I believe there should be a thus saith the Lord feel to it. Bold speaking. Christianity is not a place for wimpy speakers.
Well, I think it says this, and I think it might say that, and but I'm not sure.
No. Thus saith the Lord. You speak as though you're speaking the oracles of God. You do so boldly. Jesus delighted the crowds in his day because he spoke with authority, not as the other scribes and Pharisees, right? Now, if you have a speaking gift and you speak with authority, you better make sure you're speaking the word of God, all right? Just because somebody speaks boldly, don't go, oh, that must be true. Speak forth the word of God boldly. It's one of the things I love about being a pastor. You know, I just study the Bible and teach it. And that's how I can be bold. Because I'm speaking the word of God. My desire is not to stand in front of the Bible, but to stand behind the Bible. And let the word of God go out in great power. And listen, if you're teaching the Bible, if you're teaching the word of God, speak with authority, man. Thus saith the Lord. It was said of one great preacher, first he listened to God and then he spoke to men. I love that. It was said of another that ever again during his message, this guy would often pause as if listening for another voice. That's preaching with power. Some of you have gifts of speaking. And one of the ways you can find out for sure that you have a gift of speaking is if you get a boldness to do so. And there's a testimony of the Holy Spirit on you as a speaker. Speaking gifts. What are the other gifts? What's the other category here? Ministering. This is action gifts. This is doing. This is serving. Gifts like administration. Helps. Giving. Acts of mercy, as we'll look and we'll go through the list. These are serving gifts. A person is supernaturally empowered to serve in some capacity. And you have to be just as serious about that as the speakers do with their gifts. For look what it says. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. The idea is you've been gifted in a way like that and you do it in the energy of God and you be serious about it and that's your calling. And you go for it. Serving gifts. Speaking gifts. Guess what? Speaking gifts are not any more important than serving gifts. The best gift for you is the gift that God gave you. That is the one that you need to exercise. And when it comes to spiritual gifts, there's some Christians that think, well, the speaker, the musician, the pastor, the prophet. Wow, that person's really spiritual. I don't have speaking gifts like that. I'm kind of a second-rate Christian. Baloney. Hogwash. Don't believe it. Every single member of the body of Christ is important and we're equal. And we all work together. And we've all been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. Amen. Can I hear an amen on that? There is no place for starstruck Christians in the church. The only person you should be thrilled with in the church is Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church. And we all serve Him together as a body. But think through this as you consider your gifts. Do you like to speak in front of people? Very practical question. When you speak in front of a people, is there a thus saith the Lord sort of thing to it? Do you feel gifted? And if so, maybe you have a speaking gift. And keep in mind, when we get to teaching, there's other facets for speaking gifts. It doesn't necessarily mean public speaking in front of a lot of people. You can also teach in small group settings. You can evangelize one-on-one. Teaching one-on-one. But in general, are you a speaker? Or do you love to hang out behind the scenes? I mean, I'm camping out there. That's what you want. Quiet acts of service behind the scenes. If so, then perhaps you've been gifted in a serving capacity. Think through these, pray through these. Very quickly, let's turn to another passage that I want to look at in general. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and following. Paul says, and he, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Remember that word that was used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, ministries, ministrations, tied to a role or an office or a particular place in the body of Christ? I think we have them right here. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, some divide out pastor or teachers and they say there's a pastor and then there's a teacher. But others in the Greek say that those two belong together. So there's actually four offices, the pastor slash teacher. And that's very possible. But the idea here is that the Holy Spirit has given gifted people to the church to serve in these roles or these positions. As an apostle, as a prophet, as an evangelist, as a pastor slash teacher. And these gifted people fulfill those roles, and they've been given spiritual gifts like teaching, prophecy, administration, which enable them to perform and fulfill that role effectively for the kingdom of God. There are those in the body of Christ that are like that. Jesus has defined this. Verse 11, He, Jesus Himself, established these positions within the body of Christ. Now, I want to show you a very important word. It's the word some. Let's read that verse again, verse 11, and emphasize some. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Do you ever see the word all in there? So, are all Christians called to be pastors? Are all Christians called to be evangelists? Are all Christians called to be apostles, prophets? Some Christians are. Some. And I believe that in the church, those offices, those positions are the minority of the body of Christ. Some. The majority of Christians in the body of Christ are called by God to fulfill a supportive role within the body of Christ. So, that's something to chew on as you seek the Lord on your gift. These ministries here in Ephesians chapter 4 imply leadership position and giftedness to hold an office like that. Is that you? Could that be you? Or do you know without a doubt that you don't fill a position like that and you find a place in a supportive role? Now, even in the supportive roles, you can function in many ways like a pastor, like a teacher, like an apostle. Lots of rooms for teaching and speaking gifts there. But where do you fit? Now, again, and it's tragic that people do this. Many Christians will look to the people in those offices
the pastor teacher, the prophet, the apostle, the great evangelist. And they'll say, wow, super saint. Really spiritual. God's elite. Men of the cloth. Believe me, I know a lot of pastors. We're goofballs. We are every bit as human as you. I've met a lot of evangelists, and we're all human. And just because certain people occupy that role doesn't make them any better than anybody else in the body of Christ. Once again, we are all to be thrilled with Jesus, the good shepherd. Everyone else is an under-shepherd, folks. Everyone else ultimately works for Christ. Now, here's the problem. There are a lot of people who think, yeah, they think the pastor and the evangelist thing is this awesome deal, and that's the definition of ultimate spirituality. And so they really go and they push hard to get those places, and they're probably, many of them might not even be called. And they go into a position like that, and all they do is get frustrated, and people get frustrated, and they step on people, and it makes a mess. And the other tragic thing is that when people place too much emphasis on people in those roles, in those positions, in those places of leadership, they do begin to feel like they're second-rate Christians. They're just a layman. God really doesn't have too much interest in me. Yes, He does. He wants to use all of us. But then I've also found the flip side to be true, folks. I know men who I am convinced are called to the ministry, and they sit on their hands. They're called to be pastors, evangelists, missionaries. And oh, how desperately the body of Christ needs effective ministers. And there they sit. Listen, if you've been called to be a pastor, you better be a good steward of that. God's called you, and you need to fit that place in the body of Christ. My dad, when he was a little younger, still an older guy, but a little younger, I was still at home. And he sort of went, I guess, through one of those midlife crises. I haven't quite gotten to midlife yet, so I'm not sure. But he started thinking about things. And, you know, he went out and he got himself a, not brand new, it was an older model, but a 450 SL bright cherry red convertible Mercedes-Benz sports car. I mean, this thing was way cool. We're talking cool. And my dad got this thing, and the problem was he really couldn't afford it. And so he was scared to death to drive it. So he had this posh, awesome car that basically sat in the garage. Only on very special occasions would he take it out. Drove my mom crazy. And you know, I just wonder, how many gifts stay parked in people's garages in the body of Christ? How many people have these wonderful, awesome gifts of the Holy Spirit, manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and nobody takes them out to drive? They lay dormant. Don't let that happen in your life. Find out where you fit. And believe me, you fit. There's a place you fit.
there's an expression of God's grace in you. I'm going to stop early tonight for a reason. I would like us to close and just spend the next 5-10 minutes in prayer. And before we go on any further in looking at the spiritual gifts, I just want you to humble yourself before God, to open your heart to Him. And just take a few minutes to seek Him and ask Him to reveal to you what He needs, what He wants you to be. Because we all fit and we all need to be in place, and we need to consider these principles. A well-known coach was once asked, "How does college football contribute to the national physical fitness picture?" "Nothing," the coach replied. "Why not?" "Well," said the coach, "the way I see it, you have 22 men down on the field desperately needing a rest, and 40,000 people in the stands desperately needing some exercise." A similar situation exists in many churches today. When you compare the members who actively participate, you often find a very pathetic situation. It's not unusual to have a small group of diligent Christian workers struggling down on the field while others in the congregation are acting like spectators sitting on the sidelines eating hot dogs and popcorn. You have a gift. You have a place where you fit. Let's seek the Lord just for a few minutes. Just bow your head in prayer. If you want to pray out loud with your spouse, or if you want to get into a group of people, just take some time and pray together. Open your heart. Give you about 5 minutes or so, and then we'll close with the song. Daniel will come up.